ready to get into the Word, why don't we just spend a second praying together. Father God, we give this time over to You. I pray that our hearts and our minds would be lifted up to You. I pray that our hearts would be open to what You want to do, what You want to say today. Lord, make us like a sponge. Just soak up Your Word and Your truth. Lord, it's going to hit each one of us differently. Every time we read Your Word, Lord, Your Word is living and active, and we are living and active as well, and You are always working, Jesus said. And so every time we come to Your Word, we hear it different. We read it different. It hits us in a different way, and it strikes a tone with us. And God, I just pray we'd be resonant to that, that we'd hear it, we'd feel it, and we'd know this is where You're working, Father. Help us to be willing to join You in Your work, whether that's work in ourselves, work in our community, in our families. I just want to join You in what You're doing. Lord, we give You the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. For the last couple of weeks, we've been learning biblically healthy ways to cope with loss by following Jesus' example. I didn't realize when we started that how applicable that was going to be in real time in our lives. And I've been encouraged to see that as we studied the Scripture, as we looked in the Scripture, to realize that it's something we don't go through alone. We have a great high priest who has seen, lived, dealt with, suffered, worked through, cried out, anguished, all of the things that we have. And we can look to Him and see, how did Jesus live? How did Jesus handle this? And then we turn to one another and we do what we did just a minute ago. We bear one another's burdens. And we realize not only are we not alone, because we have a Jesus here Peter says, you know, we cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. We have Him there. But He's also given us the brethren, the church, local, tangible. We can put our arms around. We can come up to. We can pray and lay hands on and pray for. It's why it was the new commandment, love one another as I have loved you. Today, I want to look past the idea of loss and instead look to a reason to hope. Now, one of the things that I love about how the Holy Spirit breaks in and brings revelation and brings wisdom and understanding into things is how He's able to connect things in ways that I don't foresee and don't realize are going to happen. And one of the most frustrating things about the way the Holy Spirit does that is when He gives all the people ahead of the sermon the same verses that I'm going to preach, and they all preach them. Because then I don't have anything to... Now, hopefully I have something to say, but I'm listening to Nancy read the verse that I'm going to read, and Scott pray the prayer that I'm thinking this is where God's going, and I'm realizing this is definitely what God's doing. Let's just pray and we'll be done, because that's it. But I love the way the Holy Spirit does that. That's really encouraging, and I'm just kidding. I'm not frustrated. It's funny. I love that. It helps me realize that this is where God is moving. This is where God's working. We do serve a living and active God. We do serve a God who sees us in our moments right now. He's not far off. He's near to every one of us, and we call on Him. That's what James says, right? If you draw near to God, He'll draw near to you. That's what we want. We just want to take time every day to draw near to God. So today I want to focus on a reason to hope. Now when we're suffering with loss, suffering with grief, with tragedy, with difficulties in our life, hope may be one of the last things on our minds. And in order to heal. Now I want to, again, like we did with loss, I want to turn our attention to the words of Solomon. Solomon talked about loss as a season. It was one of his many seasons. There's a time for everything, a season for everything under the sun. And loss was one of those seasons, one of those inevitable things. In Proverbs, Solomon talks two different ways. Well, there's actually many, but I'm going to focus on two different ways that he talks about hope. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 28, he says that the hope of the righteous brings joy. The hope of the righteous brings joy. A couple of chapters later, in chapter 13, verse 12, he then also says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So we have these two verses. The hope of the righteous brings joy, and yet hope deferred makes the heart sick. So today I want to look at two questions. Number one, what is our reason to hope? What is the hope of the righteous that brings joy? What is our reason to hope? We're going to talk about it more next week, but you know, Paul writes that we need to be ready with a reason for hope. We need to be ready to give that. So what is that? And number two, how can we experience that hope now, not deferred? If you defer the payment of a loan, you say, I'm going to pay it someday. Hope deferred is saying someday things will happen. Hope deferred is saying I will choose to have hope sometime. Hope deferred makes a sickness in the heart. Hope now brings joy. So let's look at two passages in the New Testament that talk about this reason to hope. These are rather long excerpts, both by Paul, both in the introduction to two of his letters, one to the Ephesians. Oh, I'm sorry, I said both by Paul. One by Paul, one by Peter. Both in letters, one to the Ephesians, the other in 1 Peter. And they talk about the reason for the hope that we have. So if you look with me in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to go down to verse 15. Paul is still introducing himself and talking to the Ephesians, and he says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. Do you hear that echo? That echo of Jesus' commandment, love one another as I have loved you, because I've heard of your faith in God, in the Lord Jesus, and your love, that brotherly love, that connection, that united to one another, toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Hallelujah. and he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Amen. What a sentence. What a declaration. Paul writes in there that we may have our hearts enlightened. He says, the eyes of our hearts enlightened, knowing the hope to which he has called you. The hope to which he has called you. And then he goes on to say, this is his glorious inheritance, the immeasurable greatness of his power, the working of his great might that he also worked in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead. Let's look at what Peter says about this reason to hope, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 3, Peter says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Listen to that word, a living hope. You remember when questioned, Jesus said he's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. We serve an active God, a moving God, a God who wants to participate in our daily living lives right now. And he says, according to God's great mercy, he has caused us, allowed us, gifted us to be born again, not into death, but into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Of the righteous brings joy. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. An inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept safe by God's power through faith for a salvation in the last time. What is our reason for hope? Reason for hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our reason for hope is that he has gone ahead of us. Hope is an assurance of something that is going to come, an expectation of something to come. This is the hope of the righteous, the hope that they believe that there is something to come later that is promised to them, and there is something that they can see right now transforming and moving in their lives. The one purpose of this hope of the resurrection of Jesus on the last day, that we will transcend these bodies, these imperfect bodies, that we will transcend these current troubles, that we will go beyond all of this, the struggles, the trials, all of the challenges. The purpose of all of this is to bring joy. When? Now. Jesus doesn't want us slogging through life. He doesn't want us sad and overwhelmed and uncomfortable. Are we going to have moments of trials? Absolutely. Are there going to be moments of loss and grief and sorrow? Yes. And we've talked about how to healthily express those, No, we're not saying don't express them. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have moments of sorrow. That is expected. That is how Jesus lived it out. However, you're to also experience hope through, we're going to see that in a second, alongside the sorrow. In Psalm 39, verse 7, let's see if I can get over there. David writes this little short phrase, "Now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you." What are we waiting for? Hope now. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope postponed. Hope delayed. Hope drawn out. To be sure, we are meant to be patient in our waiting for Christ. We are meant to be patient waiting for Him to come, waiting for Him to draw us to Himself. We are meant to wait patiently to be rejoined with our loved ones. We're meant to wait patiently to experience our resurrection to eternal life with God, to receive our inheritance. We are to wait patiently for that. But I want you to think about that expectation, that waiting, like a little kid. And Jesus says that's how we're supposed to understand and experience the kingdom of God. A little child. Think about a kid that's been promised a vacation. Let's say it's to Disney World. Pick the place of your choosing, wherever you want to go. That vacation will likely be in the future, some future date. But what does the anticipation do to the child? What does it cause in the child? The anticipation of knowing this thing is going to come, what does the anticipation does? Right? The writer of Hebrews says it's an assurance. Faith is an assurance of things hoped for. We know for sure what Jesus has done, what God has done, what He has prepared for us. We know for sure. There's an assurance. What does that do to that child that has that same assurance that we are going to go to Disney World? First thing it does, puts a smile on their face every time they think about it. I remember when I was a kid, there was a commercial that was on TV about this exact thing. And the two kids, they were laying in bed, and the parents came in because they could hear all this noise. And they come in, and the two kids are laying in the bed, and they're just like giggling and laughing and everything. And they say, "Don't you guys know tomorrow we got to go to Disney World? You need to get sleep." And they say, "We're too excited to sleep." Isn't that what God says? Isn't that what Jesus talks about with the waiting and anticipation, talking about the bridesmaids waiting for the groom or for the... They're there waiting in anticipation and excitement. It puts a smile on their faces. It creates excitement. It builds up our expectation, but it does one other thing. And this is the thing I want you to notice. If you've had kids or if you've been around kids, you've experienced this. Giving them something to hope for in the future invites something else. It invites them to ask again and again and again. How much longer? How much more? How much longer is it going to be? Is it how many more days? How long am I going to be? I want you to think for a minute. Last time we talked about the Psalms of Lament. When David writes these Psalms of Lament, when Jeremiah writes the book of Lamentations, every time a lament is written in Scripture, what is it crying out? How long, O Lord? How long must I wait? How long will this endure? How long will this continue? How much longer, Lord, will you delay? And in the same breath as the psalmist cries out on God's enormous shoulders, saying, how long, O Lord? There's this mixture and blessing of saying, and yet, God, you are good. You are faithful. You, I can hope in. You are trustworthy. You are loving. You will do what you have said you will do. It's this mixture of lament and hope. It's this blending of asking how much longer, and also the anticipation and the excitement of knowing it will come to pass and it will happen. And this blending and this mixture creates this crazy dynamic in our bodies where we're both sad and excited, where we're both worried and anxious and yet at the same time hopeful and anticipating that God is moving, He is active, He is working, He is faithful, because He's proved it to us again and again and again. Just like a little kid, we have this anticipation, this blending of the now, what Paul calls our constant suffering, our current suffering, with the expectation and hope of the joy that's to come, he calls it our future glory. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9, he says, no eye has ever seen, he's quoting Isaiah, and no ear has ever heard, nor heart has ever imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. That's the hope. That's the anticipation. It's just like when Jesus came, he brought the kingdom of God to break into our current reality. It was the kingdom of God breaking through with signs, wonders, demonstrations, the kingdom of God breaking through into the current reality. And ever since then, for those that have a relationship with him, a bridge has been made. A bridge between our current situations, our current life, and that future glory of the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is in breaking through the power of the Holy Spirit, in breaking into our hearts and our lives, demonstrating God's love for us, showing his care for us. Through his power, we can experience the kingdom of God in our present life. We can experience the peace of the kingdom, the joy of the kingdom, the worship of the kingdom, the excitement of the kingdom, the awe, the wonder, all of it we experience now in our current reality. Now, we did read it earlier, but I'm going to read it again. Romans chapter 5 says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing suffering produces endurance, endurance character, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Why? Because love, God's love, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, the way hope works now in our current reality, the way that we experience hope now, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Without that connection, we don't have that hope. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go so I can send my Holy Spirit. The whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring the truth of the kingdom of God into our current lives. It's to counsel us on how to live, what choices to make, to comfort us in our sadness, to be our counselor through trials and difficulties so that we can live out the future expectation of the kingdom of God now and wait patiently, straining toward the goal of its full coming. So what is our reason to hope? How can we experience that hope now? Our hope is in the saving grace of Jesus, his future glory and the glory of the kingdom of God, the inheritance that he's laid out for us, the thing that Jesus said when he said, I go to prepare a place for you so that you'll be where I am. That's our future hope. How can we experience it now? It's that blending of the future glory with the current trials, the expectation and the hope with the lament, and the crying out, how much longer? But don't wait. Don't delay. Don't defer. Experience the peace. Experience the hope of Christ today. As we close, I just want to close with a prayer that Paul writes in the book of Romans, in chapter 15, verse 13. He says, may the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. It's all connected. We are not one-dimensional creatures. Having given our lives over to God, having been transformed into this new creation that Paul talks about, we no longer experience just one thing. We experience these different dimensions of things. Things that happen in the spiritual realm and transform it, things that happen in the earthly realm. And it's all interconnected. The working of the Spirit, the movement of God in our lives, the transformation through trials and challenges, the hope of what's to come, the joy, it's all interconnected. If you're experiencing that in your life, if you're at that place where there's a blending of lament and hope, if there's a place where you just need a space to cry out to God, if you're in that place where you just need to experience that hope, we want to pray for you. In just a moment after our closes in prayer, I'm going to invite you to come on down to the front and try to meet over there. I want to just invite you, if your heart is there, if you're in a place where you need to hear from God, don't leave, don't get distracted, don't get involved in something else. Just single-minded focus, be lined up to the front. And we want to pray for you. If you need to pray quietly, there's space for that too. Let me close this in prayer. So Lord, we lift up those who are suffering. We lift up those whose hearts are being pressed on. Lord, as you squeeze us sometimes, as life seems to get around us and hold us tight, I pray that we would feel your love in that place. I pray that we would experience your hope, your truth, your life. Holy Spirit, come. Would you move in dynamic, real ways in us? Would you transform? Would you transform our lament and our cries into praise? You are good. Your great love endures forever. Thank you, God. In love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.